This program is brought to you by LegendaryStrength.com. The content found here is for informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. It is recommended you talk to your qualified health professional before making any changes to your exercise plan, diet, or prescription medication use. Legendary Strength is not responsible for any claims made during this program.
Hey there, it's Logan Christopher, and welcome to another Legendary Strength podcast. This should be an interesting episode. What I've decided to do is chronicle my strongman journey. And I should start off with what am I talking about with that? When I explain what I do, the whole feats of strength thing to most people, I need to talk about strongmen. And most people at least have some awareness of what they see on ESPN, the strongman that is done in competitions. But what I do is the professional strongman, not that those guys aren't professionals, but the old-time style, where what strongmen did was they performed feats rather than in competition. Most people don't have awareness of the golden age of strongman, guys like Arthur Saxon and Eugene Sandow, all those guys, and how they used to perform, doing the vaudeville circuit and as well as sold-out theaters and all that. So that is a key distinction between it, and I've definitely focused a lot more on that old-time style of strength rather than the modern competitive style. Not to say that there's anything wrong with that. You can obviously build huge amounts of strength by the stone lifting, log lifting, all the events that they do there. That's also more suited for bigger people, simply because having more mass, more muscle mass in those events is a big help in doing it. So let's talk about how did I get started in this? Why did I start doing these feats of strength anyway? Well, my first taste of it was really came with the Iron Mind bag of nails. If you're not familiar with Iron Mind, you can check them out at ironmind.com. They have all sorts of great training resources and tools for a lot of it's focused on grip strength, and a lot of it is also focused on the strongman Olympic lifting, all sorts of different great ways of building strength. And in the beginning, the Iron Mind bag of nails was the way to get started with bending. The thing is, there are 5 nails in it, and really it's a very crappy progression. I have to say, the jump from the white to green nail is not very big. It's just a shorter of the same stock. But then the jump from the green to yellow is quite a big jump. I mean, most people are going to get stopped there. Then the jump from yellow to blue is a small jump. Once again, it's just a shorter piece of that. Then the jump to the red nail, once again, is huge. There are much more progressive ways of training bending, but you have to get involved in buying your own steel and cutting it and all sorts of other things. But anyway, this is what I got started with. And in the beginning, I could just do the white and green nail, and it took my friend Tyler, some training, and we eventually got to the point where we could bend the yellow nail. Of course, we were actually doing it wrong in the beginning. We were doing braced bending, which is not how you're supposed to be doing the short bending. It's supposed to be done just with the hands held away from your body, so you're not bracing your arm or anything or your hand against any other part of your body. But that can be a legitimate way to train the feats the first time you do it. Do some brace just for the assist as you move on. Along with the bag of nails, got started with some of the other grip strength, like using a pinch block and grippers and all that stuff. And I have to say, I was not good at this stuff in the beginning. When I first tried, I couldn't even close the trainer. That's how strong I was when I got started in this training. I couldn't close the trainer. Fairly rapidly, I was able to then close the trainer. It still took a while to get the one, and even to this day, I'm not that great at grippers because I haven't really trained them. The best I've ever closed is I think I got the 2 one time after doing some training on it, but besides that, I really haven't practiced with grippers much. And truth is, almost everyone that trains with grippers says this, that grippers don't really translate to anything else besides grippers, while other grip training does translate to a whole bunch of different things. Moving on with my story, if you're talking about the old-time strongman, all roads, all paths lead to Dennis Rogers. And if I remember correctly, how I originally found out about him was through John Wood and his site Functional Hand Strength. In the book that I read about the Mighty Atom called The Spiritual Journey of Joseph L. Greenstein, which is the book more responsible for getting people interested in the strongman stuff. You ask any strongman, and that is like the book to read. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but you can still find editions somewhere. I would highly recommend you get a copy of that book and read it. There's so much information there. It's really biographical, but the ideas you get from it and just the understanding of strength that comes across in that book is it's just amazing. So in that book, it is detailed how the Mighty Atom had a protege, Slim the Hammer Man, and how that all came about. And Slim the Hammer Man, in turn, ended up being the mentor for Dennis Rogers. So there really was this strongman lineage. And Dennis Rogers, really, if you look at anyone who does the strongman stuff today, it's because they got started with Dennis Rogers. Besides guys like John Brookfield, who were doing it at the same time Dennis was, but Dennis is the most well-known, the most popular, and definitely has gotten the most coverage as a performing strongman. And everyone that has done strongman stuff owes it to him for that. Dennis has taught tons of other guys, like Pat Povilaitis, who's also become quite famous as a strongman doing it. So anyway, at Functional Hand Strength, I think I first heard about and saw Dennis in action through a DVD he had called 336 Pounds of Fury. Now, it's not because Dennis weighed 336 pounds, not even close, but him and Pat Povilaitis together, they each weighed, 163 pounds a piece. So not very big guys. I'm actually bigger than Dennis, but I definitely wouldn't be messing with them. So in this, this was really not so much a training DVD, but just showcasing feats and having fun doing all sorts of stuff. So having been introduced to Dennis, the first DVD of his that I bought was A Grip That Rips. Now, this DVD is all about phone book tearing. I bought it. I wasn't even that interested in phone book. For whatever reason, at the time, I wanted to tear cards, and I was hoping that this DVD would cover that to some degree. It didn't, so I just got started with the phone books. And literally, when I started, what you can do with phone books, because it's not always easy to find whatever size you need, but you tear along the spine just to make whatever phone book thickness that you need. Phone books are great in that it's 1 feet of strength that you can pretty much do for free. It's really easy to come across phone books at libraries. I've gotten old ones there. There's places where they just have stacks of them. You can take them. You can even have them delivered to you. Once you get into this, people will save their phone books to give to you. So it's a really great feat to get started with. When I was starting, I was literally starting with a quarter inch thickness of phone book and tearing through that, and that wasn't even all that easy to begin with, but I kept at it, kept practicing. It was just one day what happened, everything clicked in the phone book tearing, and I was now able to just rip through the local phone book that I was practicing with. It was somewhere between an inch and a half. And everything just clicked, and I was suddenly able to shred these, you know, normal-sized phone books. I was traveling down to Los Angeles or surrounding area for an Iron Maiden concert. Ended up staying with friends, so we had a party at night, and he just kept handing me phone books, and literally the entire floor of the house was just covered in shreds of phone book, which is actually something of a common occurrence if you get into phone book tearing. So that was really when I dedicated myself to a single feat and just worked at it, and at one time I just hit something and took off from there. And of course I've continued to work on it here and there over time and been able to do even thicker and harder phone books. I continued with the bending. I remember the time I first hit a 60 penny nail. A lot of people will tell you that bending a 60 penny nail is sort of like the feat you need to accomplish. That's your entrance into the strongman club. What happened with the nails is, this is actually a fairly common occurrence too, is, you know, once I hit it, I started showing off that I could do this to everyone, and everyone, you know, I was like, check out what I can do. But I was taking something that I just accomplished that was close to a max effort, and I was doing it over and over and over again several times throughout a day. And what happened was I started feeling a lot of pain when doing this. I remember after doing it one time, showing person, I knew I shouldn't have done it before because I was already in pain and it was starting to hurt, but I did it again, and my arm was just on fire for several hours afterwards. I had obviously done too much, and this happens to a lot of people when they get into bending because it's so fun, because it's so exciting, you go and do too much, and you're placing a lot of stress on things that aren't used to getting a lot of stress. So it is something that needs to be broken into, not necessarily slowly, but you definitely need to break into it. You can't rush it and you can't go all out. You will suffer consequences like tennis or golfer's elbow. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but you can put yourself into pain from doing this. Now, after the 60 penny nail, I at some point got onto a grade 5 bolt. I did work my way up to a grade 8 bolt, which I successfully bent one time. At some point in the future, I'd like to go for the red nail, but I really haven't been training bending at all in quite some time. So that's a bit of bending, but that's sort of getting ahead of the rest of the story. Having bought Dennis Rogers DVDs, and at this point I probably had them all, but he opened up a thing called the Old Time Strongman University, which was monthly content, and there was a forum just for his members, and really it became a who's who of who people that are strongman today. He also held a contest. I don't really remember the details of it, but it was basically send in a video of you doing a feat and you could win something. So my friend and I, we both had long hair at the time, having read about the Mighty Atom and his feats of pulling vehicles and even stopping airplanes from taking off with his hair, we decided to pull, I believe it was a van the first time we did it, by our hair, and we did it in tandem, so both of us were pulling. We literally went to the hardware stores like, okay, how can we set this up, got some chains, got some zip ties and everything, and then tried it out, and it worked. So that was the first hair stunt we ever did. And from that point, and I'm going to get to it later, but I have gone further with that. Then what happened, which was really sort of the game changer, was Dennis decided to hold his first workshop. And like I said, a lot of these guys from the Old Time Strongman University were there. People that are some of the biggest strongmen today, Chris Ryder, who has also done a number of hair feats. This guy looks like a Viking, very strong. I remember him bending a horseshoe there that was, I believe it was a PR for him, like it was a huge max attempt, and he is screaming like, this is not something you do for a show, because you're supposed to make things look easy. Here he was, it wasn't easy for him, and it would have scared children had they been present. Mike Gillette, who at the time had never done any of the strongman training, but now he has done a whole bunch and really gone onto a pretty big level with it. Mike Bruce was there, Pat Povilaitis, of course. And in this workshop, Dennis taught his 6 staple feats. These are basically the feats that every strongman should learn how to perform. This includes the short bending, the long bending, or doing some simple scrolls, horseshoe bending, phone books, tearing cards, and driving a nail with your hand. When you get these 6 feats, the cool thing about these ones is it really doesn't take much equipment to do. Of course, you need the supplies, but it doesn't take a lot. You don't need to carry a whole bunch of things like some other feats may require. You get these, you're going to have fairly well-rounded strength, a lot of grip strength, because everything goes through the hands in these feats. But it's really, especially like the long bending, the horseshoe bending, those are really full-body strengthening exercises. And the truth is, you don't need to be able to do every single one of these 6 different feats. I remember Mike Bruce, as strong as he is, and I don't know if this is still the case to the day, done some really crazy stuff, strong at all sorts of things, but he could not get the phone books. For whatever reason, that just eluded him completely. Once again, don't know if he's gotten to and tried and achieved and accomplished with the phone books these days, but he could do some very crazy stuff. And a big part of this is also finding what your specialties happen to be. Mike Bruce has done some crazy neck feats, bending steel, bending horseshoes across his neck, even hanging from a noose just by neck strength alone. So some dangerous stuff too. Chris Ryder, as I mentioned, has also done some of the hair feats. So with every strongman, you in order to stand out, you gotta find out what you can do as a specialty, and I'll talk about my own specialties, how I developed these and why I developed them in the future as we're going along with this. And of course, a big part of it is also the showmanship, learning how to put together a show, and also then of course going out and getting paid for it. What also was really cool about this workshop was having met Dennis and really befriended him. He connected me with Bud Jeffries. If it weren't for Dennis and doing this, then, you know, all this stuff I've done together with Bud may never have happened, because Bud at the time had some business problems, was looking to come back from it, but didn't want to have to deal with any of that stuff. Hence why he partnered with me and how we've grown and done all these workshops together and everything since then. So really this workshop was the catapult for a lot of these guys, that basically everyone that was at that workshop has, you know, more than made their money back just doing a few events, even if they didn't focus on that at all. Some other cool things regarding doing the Strongman stuff, I attended many RKCs, you know, after doing the first one, but really assisting, I think I assisted at 3 or 4 of them after that. You typically have a night where everyone would go out to dinner, and this night would end up being a night where, you know, people would get together and just display their strength. Brett Jones was really strong at doing he could bend the red nail and had a lot of other strength along these lines. So just the people that were into that stuff would get together and have a lot of fun. A short time after this workshop with Dennis Rogers, Atomic Athletic, who is owned by Roger LaPointe, he holds an annual strongman, what's it called? The Atomic Athletic Great Black Swamp Old Time Strongman Picnic. And this is an annual event that he holds in which he brings out some super strong people to display their strength. And it was really cool thing, and I really wanted to go out to it, so I decided to just say, like, hey, would you like to have me? I remember talking on the phone with him. He was saying, well, what can you do? And I mentioned the hair pulling stunt, which, you know, it's obviously a fairly unique feat that no one does. And at that time, I think I'd maybe done it once or twice more, possibly by myself. I don't remember the full details of it. But he said, okay, well, I have this, or my friend has this fire truck. Somehow he got on the subject of that. And I'm just saying, yeah, I can do it. I had no clue if I actually could do it or not. He was talking about this fire truck ended up weighing 8,800 pounds. It was about 4 times as big as anything, as heavy as anything as I'd ever pulled before, let alone by my hair. But I said I could do it. So leading up to that, of course, I did quite a bit of training. And as if you've seen the video, which is available on YouTube, it wasn't an easy pull at all, but I did pull it off after a false start. The tricky part with that was we were on flat ground. There really wasn't any slope, you know, maybe like a degree up or down. Didn't have it measured or anything, but there is no pressure rating on the tires simply because they're old, and I guess they didn't used to do that for whatever reason. So we were trying to fill them up, but, you know, with no pressure rating, you have no way to test it and see where it should be. So the tires probably weren't as inflated as they could have been. The truck was sitting there overnight. And the first time I tried, I just couldn't get it going at all. What we ended up doing is took a short break, and it took like 6 guys just to move it forward a little bit. And then from there, for whatever reason, just because it wasn't sitting and weighting itself down, after getting moved a little bit, I was able to get it started and pulled it maybe something like 50 yards. It was one of the most difficult things I'd ever done. At that event, also had the pleasure of meeting Andrew Derniat, who is quite the strongman himself, as well as a kettlebell competitor in the Gear Force sport. He's also someone else that's really good at kettlebell juggling, and we did a face-off there where basically we were, you know, matching one move to one move, and had a whole lot of fun with that, and people seemed to really like it. So that was a great event. Not too long after that, I decided to open up my own gym in actually Scotts Valley, which is a suburb basically of Santa Cruz. For this gym, actually, I wasn't focused on too much because I had the online business going, but in order to get clients, I decided to hold a grand opening and to do a strongman show. I put out a single press release for this, and I had 4 different newspapers come to cover the event. Why is that? Simply because strongman is very different, and my headline was something like, at new gym grand opening, strongman performs death-defying stunts. So that's what I did, and it wasn't very complex stuff. Actually, this was the only time after that fire truck I had pulled a vehicle by my hair, and I was like getting all psyched up for it, but it was just actually my truck and had people riding it, but it was nothing compared to the fire truck, so it was effortless pull. I also did a feat that I'm somewhat now famous for, where I hold a wrestler's bridge, have concrete stacked on my stomach, and then someone swinging a sledgehammer to breaking it. In order to make this more difficult, I usually also hold two weights, like two kettlebells overhead, so I have more stress on the neck. It looks quite dangerous, and truth is, for me, you know, holding some weight in the sledgehammer with the concrete breaking is really not that difficult at all. But it looks great, and you know, got some great press coverage and had clients coming in from that. I've told this to numerous gym openers, like if you have a party, bring a strongman out, and there are several and they are for hire, but you can get great press from that, and if you do the press right, that will lead to clientele. So after this, I held the first workshop with Bud Jeffries, the first ever superhuman workshop, and in this we decided to cover feats of strength. What we wanted to do was basically cover all these different feats and really some of the aspects of it. So it was sort of like Dennis's workshop in a much more compressed time frame. And this, you can still find this. It's in our Feats of Strength DVD set. We cover all the different feats, how to do them, how to train them, how to put together shows, specialties, and all that stuff. Really great information, because while you can find bits and pieces of this training, nowhere was it covered in one place. So that's what we were aiming to do with this. What happened with the second Superhuman workshop is we ended up actually doing a live show where, once again, we got some press for Laurel Blackburn. Burns Gym out in Tallahassee, Florida, just by performing. It was cool because we brought up all the guys that, you know, had done feats of strength before, and actually some that hadn't, and found something that they could do. And basically each person would do one or two feats, and we had Bud, who had the most practice because he's been touring around doing strongman shows for schools, leading everyone through it, and we did some new combo feats and all sorts of things, so it was a whole lot of fun with that. We also got the opportunity to do another workshop with Dennis called the Become an Old-Time Strongman Workshop, and it was much like the one before, just several years after, and had some really strong guys out there for that, so that was really cool. The unfortunate thing is that probably is the last time Dennis will ever teach. Maybe in the future there'll be some more, and I'm going to have some more not so great news in the coming up at the end of this podcast. So we do have the third Superhuman workshop coming up. We're not going to be covering feats of strength like I've been talking about here, but we're going to be around the strongest guys, and feats of strength always tend to happen. I don't know if we're going to have a show or anything like that. Still figuring out all the details, but it is the place to be if you want to become really strong, because we have ridiculously strong people there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So be sure to check that out at superhumanworkshop.com. So let me talk a little bit about my specialties. When you're a strongman, you have these staple feats that everyone can do. You can sometimes come up with new and interesting combinations or ways to do them that make it different than other people. For instance, as far as I know, Pat Povilaitis was the first one ever to heart a horseshoe. So normally with horseshoe bending, you're pulling on it till it opens up. It's sort of an S-type shape. Pat Povilaitis decided to take it further and keep bending it around till it was in a heart. Now that's something of a common thing that's done with horseshoes, so it's not so much a specialty, but at the time it was definitely different. So each person really finds something that they can do uniquely, and if not completely unique, at least, you know, very few people are doing it. So for me, of course, I have the hair pulling, and it's not a fun feat at all. I don't recommend anyone else try it, not because I'm trying to keep out the competition anyway, but it's painful, and it's not fun to do, and it's really not fun when you hear your hair ripping out, so I wouldn't recommend it. And I haven't done it in a long time. It's not something that I normally train at all. I don't train my hair regularly. The truth is, with that feat, it's even more a feat of neck strength, because you have to hold your head so that's not being just pulled back to do it, and that is tremendous strain on the neck. When you have all the hair together, it doesn't really hurt so much. The hair is quite strong. It's really like a rope when it's bunched up like that, done properly. So that is one feat I've done, and like I said, I did it. There was the big thing that I did at the Atomic Athletic event. It was one of the big drawing things for the gym grand opening. Not something easy to set up. Definitely needs to be done outside. There are some other hair feats that can be done, but that's really what I focused on, and you know, maybe in the future I'll do something even bigger with that. I've thought about the idea of pursuing the world record in that, though it's hard to find what exactly that is. As far as I know, some guy in the UK was pulling a double-decker bus by his hair, which that seems pretty tough to do. So anyway, that's one of them. The kettlebell juggling is something I've used a lot. Just recently, I came up with the flaming kettlebell juggling. Now, I did that in the recent Wizards of Strength workshop, just as sort of our night of strength, the fun we were having there. In the future, if I end up doing more of the strongman shows, that could be definitely something, because it looks awesome. It's dangerous. Anytime you have a danger element, it really sort of elevates the feat in the people's mind. I should mention that your normal person can't grasp the difficulty of the feats, so something that is easy may to them seem a lot better than something that is much harder. So just because something hard doesn't mean it's going to come across well. And the whole art of the strongman is not only, you know, doing stuff that the average person can't, but making it come across in the right way to where they can really get it. So the flaming kettlebell juggling is one that could do that. I already mentioned the wrestler's bridge, the different forms of that, usually doing the concrete break, because one, it looks very dangerous again, but it's also very visual, has obviously a loud noise attached to it, so that one comes across really well. I mean, even when I'm just doing a normal's wrestler's bridge, some people think I'm going to break my neck, so when I add a whole bunch of weight to it, and when I have concrete broken on my stomach to it, it really looks very dangerous, but of course, having worked up to being able to do it, it's not that dangerous at all. So the question some people may be asking is, why haven't I done more of the whole performing strongman aspect? The reason why is I've focused more on teaching this stuff and running my websites and doing that as my business rather than getting paid to do shows. As far as actually doing the feats and going further with them, you know, it's something that I cycle in with all the other things I do. One thing I have found is that hand balancing and doing stuff like bending just don't seem to mix too well. Overall, I'd say it's too much strain on the wrists. So that is something that I have found, and being that I'm focused quite a bit on hand balancing right now, I haven't been doing a lot of the feats that I've talked about here at all, which is fine. I can come back to them later, and even then, when I do like a birthday party or something like that, I can still do, you know, 60 penny nails or grade 5 bolts without training for them, bending 12 inch spikes, a decks of cards, that sort of thing. I've built up enough of a level to where I can do the feats without having to train them. If I'd want to take them further, I'd need to work back up and then work on going it further, but right now I'm focusing on other stuff. That being said, the hand balancing itself could certainly be used in feats of strength in a strongman show. Of course, they have people like Cirque du Soleil where, you know, there are professional hand balancers. But if I added just some basic stuff like a handstand or a backflip into this other stuff, it would come across really well without having to be able to do ridiculous stunts like jumping on one hand. Now, if I could do that, I would certainly add it in there, but not quite there with those skills yet. So there really is a whole wide range of different things that you can do. A lot of strongman is about the hand and grip strength. The main part of that is that most people don't have it, so when you're displaying it, it just looks amazing, and people can't translate, even though they may have a whole bunch of power in their body and strength there, if they can't translate it through the hands, which tend to be the weak link, they're not going to be able to do any of these movements. And while there is technique involved, it is really about being stronger and stronger. So I hope you've enjoyed this story of really how I got started with professional strongman and how it sort of developed and the different things I've done along the way. What I want to end this with is telling you that unfortunately Dennis Rogers has decided to pull all his DVDs off the market. So what we're doing is we're going to have a closeout sale. After this, you will not be able to get any training information from Dennis Rogers, short of, I guess, hiring himself for thousands of dollars. I know most people that are interested in this subject that are already listening already have a number of his DVDs, if not all of them. But now, if you want them, it's the last opportunity to have them. So we're going to have them at sales price in order to try to sell out of the remaining stock that we have. After this, they're pulled off the market for good. In the future, Dennis has some plans to develop some new stuff, but you know, that could be a long time. So if you're looking to how to tear phone books in half, there's nothing better than a grip that rips DVDs. To drive a nail with your hand, how to drive a nail without a hammer. Odd object bending and breaking is really about bending and destroying things, common household items. It's a strength you need for short braced bending, but it's done with things like wrenches, screwdrivers, frying pans, all that sort of stuff. And there's one last one. There is basic scrolling. This one Dennis filmed along with Eric Vining, and it's really about how to get started in scrolling. Usually so with bending, you have the short bending, you have braced bending, and then long bending or scrolling. And there are a bunch of varieties with that. All these DVDs are really great. They're going to be on sale for this closeout special. You can also get the package deal to get them all. This won't be around for long. Definitely be pulled down before the end of the year. If you're looking for a Christmas present for someone that is interested in getting stronger, then be sure to grab it for them while it's still available. To grab the DVDs, go to legendarystrength.com/closeout. Closeout as one word. Once again, that's legendarystrength.com/closeout. CLOSEOUT. That'll bring you to the page where you can get this special deal on the Dennis Rogers DVDs for the last time ever. So I hope you've enjoyed my strongman journey. I enjoyed talking about it and detailing all this for you. If you have any questions, be sure to let me know. Also, please rate this podcast on iTunes so other people can find it and enjoy all the great stuff we're giving out here at the Legendary Strength Podcast. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you next week.